life gets messy. Spills, stains, and kid chaos. But with Anabe, cleaning up is easy. Our sofas are fully machine washable, inside and out, so you never have to stress about messes again. Made with liquid and stain-resistant fabrics, that means fewer stains and more peace of mind. Designed for real life, our sofas feature changeable fabric covers, allowing you to refresh your style anytime. Need flexibility? Our modular design lets you rearrange your sofa effortlessly. Perfect for cozy apartments or spacious homes. Plus, they're earth-friendly and built to last. That's why over 200,000 happy customers have made the switch. Get early access to Black Friday pricing right now. Sofas start at just $699. Visit washablesofas.com now and bring home a sofa made for life. That's washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
Oh, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Fact is stranger than fiction. You couldn't make this up, could you? If you did try to write a soap opera based around this government, people just wouldn't believe it. Rachel Reeves to abandon plans to raise income tax rates in the budget. What? So after all the groundwork you've been laying, saying we have to look at cuts and, you know, income tax and spending and all that stuff, and that pre-budget speech had said nothing. She was up there for like, what, an hour? Said absolutely nothing. When asked any questions on details, oh, no, that's not for this now. This is the context. That context was all about laying the groundwork, wasn't it, for raising income tax. And now the tax U-turn was sent to the OBR on Wednesday for them to confirm it. And Downing Street said they did not deny the reports, but said it would not comment on budget matters. Apparently now Reeves is looking at thresholds. You know, thresholds have been frozen for a while at which people pay tax, which is likely to be seen as income tax rise by stealth. Because, of course, if you get a pay increase and you go above from one tax bracket to another, you start paying more tax. These largely used to move up, you know, in line with inflation and stuff. But now they're not. They've been kept on hold. So all this, initially this was leaked, this income tax rise U-turn from the FT. Now, the reason for this U-turn, right, apparently, coming out right now, is that the reports are that Reeves' fiscal position isn't as precarious as previously thought. How does that work out? They're borrowing more than ever. Bond yields, okay, they're coming down a bit, but not a lot. Growth isn't there, so tax take isn't there. How on earth has this, you know, £40 billion black hole, how is it reduced? So how has their fiscal position become better? What's behind this is politics. Full stop. When you realise there's been a leadership challenge on Starmer, whose polling is the least popular prime minister in history, you know, he's skating on thin ice here. If they did go ahead with raising income taxes, this is a major manifesto pledge break, a promise they're going to break. Many Labour MPs aren't in favour of that, raising taxes. And when you consider a very weak now leadership, Starmer can't afford to already upset, you know, Labour. You got, I think it was Wes Streetian, who the one being rumoured to being taken over Keir Starmer. He recently said he wasn't a fan of breaking manifesto pledges. It seems like the power is shifting in the Labour Party already. So you've got the Labour backbenchers, the MPs, you know, really not a fan of Starmer and Reeves, pretty much. And on the other hand, you've got the bond market to deal with. That's a real threat. This is not about just survival of political careers. The bond market is real for all of us. It affects everything. And borrowing, mortgages, everything. Now, bond yields did move up this morning, meaning bond prices dropped. basically worried that if she does not raise tax, how can she service the debt? And to put this in context, the cost of government debt, pretty much servicing it, is about £100 billion a year, just to service the debt, to pay the interest. And put that in context, if servicing the debt was a department, it would be the second biggest department outside the NHS. So rather than spending stuff on, you know, on justice or education or that stuff, it's going towards servicing the debt. And so literally that money can't go to investing in the economy. The bigger the debt gets, the more you have to service, of course. Now, if the average gilt yield, bond yield, moves up by 0.5%, it costs the Treasury around £7 billion. Of course, it works the other way as well. If bond prices rise, yields come down, they gain that amount. So these movements are very significant. I'd say more significant to the UK economy and people of this country than whether Starmer and Reeves survive or not. But for them, of course, the priority is for their career survival. And that's why I think, if anything, they're going back on breaking this manifesto pledge, because they're worried about their careers. That's it. So if investors see the UK as increasing their debt because they're not raising taxes, the UK becomes a riskier investment. This means the government would need to issue more bonds. Of course, if you issue anything, the price goes down. As the price goes down, yield goes up. This costs the government more than to service those bonds, that debt. So essentially, it's a debt spiral. And how do you get out of this? Well, first of all, there's two ways, isn't there? Ideally, with growth. With growth, you generate more tax revenue so they can pay off the debt. We know that isn't happening. We've seen the growth figures, the GDP figures, they're flat to contracting. So the other thing, you know, that would help reduce this huge burden of servicing this debt is interest rates coming down. So it's basically down to the Bank of England. So recent market data suggests the probability of a rate cut, that's a quarter percentage point, in December meeting is between 60 and 81%. So it looks like it's sort of nailed on almost. And we are relying now on the Bank of England to help the government. And yet all, you know, Reeves and Starmer are doing are playing political games to ensure their survival. It's absolute nonsense, isn't it? And like I said, it's a shambles, it's a farce. They don't know what they're doing, do they? They have no idea what they're doing from one week to the next. And of course, when they try and make policy, they're not backed up by any of the MPs. So they're really, I wouldn't be surprised if one of them, or even both of them, go before Christmas. Reeves could go before Christmas, I think. I think that once the budget's done, I think maybe that's why she was crying. She'd maybe be gone by Christmas. Get the budget out of the way. That's done. Of course, you have a chancellor going before the budget. It would really upset the bond market a bit. But get the plans out, and then she steps aside, I think. But the trouble is, who's going to replace her? That's what's worrying. Anyway, let's look at the markets. It's not even midday yet. It's 11:45. So, of course, American markets are not open. But they did sell off yesterday. And let's look, if they're going to sell off today, let's look at the futures here on the American markets. Yeah, they are expected to drop again. So NASDAQ expected to drop by 1%. The S&P 500 by 0.7%. And the Dow by 0.5%. Now, looking at yesterday's falls, NASDAQ was down by 2.3%. The S&P down by 1.7%. The Russell 2000 down by 2.77%. And the Dow Jones was down by 1.65%. So more falls are going to be happening today. Of course, largely based on the worry about AI, the valuations, and these, you know, interrelated deals. I did post out a video on X. It was from CNBC about all these deals that are, you know, interrelated, where NVIDIA, pretty much the heart, and ChatGPT at the heart of these deals, where NVIDIA will loan a company money, and that company will buy NVIDIA chips off them, that loan money, all that stuff, and ChatGPT doing the same thing. I think ChatGPT done about $1 trillion worth of deals, and they've got $20 billion in revenue. How are they going to pay for those deals? Doesn't make any sense. But they're so intricate, these web of deals. It's almost like, you know, a house of cards. a little bit. I'm starting to think, is that where the crypto is? Is the crypto canary in the coal mine at the moment? Bitcoin at the moment is down by 3.7%. Down at 95,941. So, well, I suppose that's the most widely traded, riskiest asset, isn't it, crypto? So if that is the canary in the coal mine, then maybe we've got some more volatility coming up. But, I wouldn't worry about it too much. I mean, it doesn't seem like the economy is in, a bad position, particularly in the US. Yes, you've got labour market softening a bit, but it's not recession territory, So maybe a correction is needed. We haven't had one since, February started, April, so bottomed out. And that would be healthy. That would take off the table the worry about valuations then, if they come down by a bit, by 20%. Anyway, let's look at the rest of the market here. FTSE. Down 1.6%. God, that 10,000 was looking good to go, wasn't it? But literally, it was down yesterday 1%, down today 1.6%. Stock 600, again, 1.65% down. The small cap, FTSE small cap, down 0.9%, 7283. FTSE 250, down 1.5%, 21,669. What else is there? There's the FTSE All World Index, down just over 0.5%, and the AIM All Share down 1.36% to 7.45. So below that bottom end of that support range now, 7.55, is breaking down below that. I don't see this as a famous last words. I don't see this as a major correction, really. If the S&P drops by 10-15%, 10-20%, I think the buyers will start coming back in. Brent crude is rising at 2% a day. $64.36 a barrel. What about gold? Gold is off a little bit. I do think this is a lower high here. Part of me thinks it's a lower high for gold. We had $4,360 at the high in 20th of October, and now it peaked out at $4,214 on the 12th of November, so 2 days ago, and now it's going sideways a little bit. Copper's down. By the way, gold's down to 0.9%, 4,157. Apologise if I said that already. Copper down 0.9% to $5.05 a pound. Lithium, so hasn't moved. And that's pretty much it. Let's look at government bond yields here. So the dollar is up a little bit, 99.36. Dollar index, that is, of course, the basket of currencies against dollar. So this is where you're seeing bonds being sold off, yields rising. The two-year government bond yield is up 1.67% to 3.83. Having said that, it's been a lot higher. I mean, even back in April, it was at 4.1. It's now at 3.8. The 10-year is up 2.46% to 4.54. In fact, it's bounced off this recent support at 4.36. So it has jumped quite a bit. It's gapped up this morning on this news. But it's known the top end of the range, there was 4.8, but now at 4.54. And the 30-year, again, that's gapped up again. Again, we are mid-range here, same as the 10-year. So mid-range between the low, which was 5.14, and the high, which was 5.6. So they have jumped a little bit. A pound will buy you €1.13, and it'll buy you $1.31. As far as some companies are concerned, there's only one company I looked at today that I hold a bit of stock in. I was quite pleased, actually, with the update. And it's from Gleeson. M.J. Gleeson. They comprise of two divisions, Gleeson Homes and Gleeson Land. Gleeson Homes is a leading low-cost affordable house builder. Its two-bedroom homes start from £100,000. Gleeson's vision is building homes, changing lives, prioritising areas where people need affordable housing. Our aim is to ensure all our developments, a meaningful proportion of the homes, are affordable. And what else? There's also the land as well, where they sell land to developers and all that stuff. But anyway, at 377 share, they got a market cap of 220 million, enterprise value of 218. And they came out with an AGM statement today, which essentially they said the board, whilst mindful of the government's autumn budget, which will be announced on the 27th or 26th of November, expects the results for the financial year ended the 30th of June 2026 will be in line with current market expectations. So as a bit of detail here, Gleeson Homes open market net reservation rates for the 8 weeks to the 7th of November increased by 22% to 0.5 per site versus 0.41 per site last year. If you include bulk reservations, it's 0.92 versus 0.46 per site. That's good in this environment. I really think that. I think if you're an investor and you're looking for, you know, and you invest for, say, you know, longer than 2-3 years, for example, look for a house builder. I'll explain why I like Gleeson in a minute. But there are two issues worth thinking about. House builders, and they are cyclical, are near sort of recent lows. But there's two things in the short term worth thinking about. First of all, the budget uncertainty. Secondly, interest rates. So, firstly, the budget. If you believe the uncertainty of the budget has been priced in, it's worth buying a good property-related company. I think it is largely priced in because there's only worry surrounding the budget. There's no positivity at all around it. I mean, this government, you know, is failing dismally on their growth plans. I think they will do their best to reassure the country that they will achieve growth somewhere, because they aren't at the moment. After all, growth is apolitical. Everyone wants it. All parties, all people want growth. It helps everyone. What I'm saying is there's no positivity priced in, but all the negativity is. The budget will not be all negative. We know there'll be a lot of negative, and negative tends to get the headlines. And uncertainty, when you don't know what's happening and it's chopping and changing all the time, of course, it creates more uncertainty. And more often than not, when you see these big data points happening in the market and they're signposted well in advance, you tend to get the negative, you know, will dominate the headlines like it has been. But there will be positives in there. And I'm thinking after the budget, you know, when you're thinking about a budget or something that's coming up, you tend to worry about what's the worst thing that can happen. You don't think what's the best thing that happened, you know? Now, net-net, it probably will be negative. But people are saying it's all negative. It's not. And the way it is, if there isn't some positive in there, you know, if Reeves and Starmer don't almost, you know, give back a bit of hope to small and medium-sized enterprises, businesses and people of the country that growth's going to happen, they'll be out by Christmas. So there will be positives in there. And I think once you know the size of the animal you're dealing with, it's not a problem. People tell you about an animal, a rare animal, beast that's coming along, it's huge. You know, in your head, you think, oh, it's 100 foot tall, it's massive, it eats us all. But then once you see it, think, oh, it isn't that big. It's all right, we can deal with that. So I just think the uncertainty is bigger than the actuality of the budget. So after the budget, I would expect some positivity in the market. Secondly, interest rates. The housing market is cyclical. The market becomes more buoyant the lower the interest rates. Now, if you believe we're on a pathway to lower interest rates, the housing sector overall will benefit. Full stop, get any chart of a house builder, scroll back, and then you can, you know, plot across the top interest rates and the share price of house builders. And when interest rates are coming down, house builder share prices start rising. So I do think we're on that path. Inflation's coming down pretty much, or it's getting towards target. And so I think, you know, cyclically, we are in this, you know, pathway of downward interest rates, which are very positive for builders. You've got to be patient, though. You know, it's not going to happen overnight. I mean, of course, if they lower interest rates in December, it's not going to have, you know, a massive influx of house buyers. But over time, you know, hopefully the metrics, the fundamentals, the revenue, the profit of these house builders will improve. And as interest rates come down, by the way, at the moment, they have to offer, you know, all these kind of incentives to house buyers. I'm watching a Gleeson's Land presentation. They said the real improver for our margins is when we get rid of incentives. And generally, when the housing market picks up, you don't need incentives. And you've seen the way the housing market goes in this country. It tends to go crazy when it almost becomes bubble territory. When people start just offering, you know, prices on flats that they've never even seen because people are snapping them up. It gets like that. So we are sort of pretty much at the bottom of the cycle here at the moment, or just come out of the bottom of the cycle. And I think this, you know, cycle lasts for 5 odd years. So I think it's a good time now to take a position in the bottom of the cycle, because you'll see you know, a good run-up in the next 3 to 5 years. Why I like Gleeson specifically is, firstly, they are expected to hit their forecasts, and this is on trough earnings, or at the low point in the cycle. Yes, they were downgraded, what, 6 months back? But now they say they're going to hit them, so there's no more downgrades happening. This is also, we're also in a period, like I said, trough earnings cycle here, is when interest rates are not particularly low and consumer sentiment is rock bottom. That is a good time to buy because it's sort of priced in. Now, if you buy when everyone is bullish about the housing market, that's it, it's too late. You know, you've got to buy when doom and gloom. That's your discount. You've got to buy the doom and gloom. And you sell. This is the fever pitch optimism, you know, at the top. That's where you sell. When everyone's talking about house prices going up, that's where you sell. But you buy at the bottom and the doom and gloom is at the highest. And right now it is. You can, you know, for every person talking about how gloomy the house market is, that is when to buy. This is a cyclical play. Secondly, growth and value of Gleeson. They are forecast to grow revenue by 14% for 2026, 13% for 2027, and 13% for 2028. Okay? So double-digit top-line growth. Listen to the net profit. This is how the margins will improve. Net profit by 16%. So this is again, you know, 14% revenue. So revenue will go up by 14% for 26. Net profit will go up by 16%. In 2027, revenue expected to go up by 13%. Net profit 32%. And then in 2027, top line 13%, bottom line 23%. On a valuation basis, they're on a price to book of 0.7 below peers. Their forecast price earnings ratio is 12 for 2026, 9 for 2027, 7 for 2028. And they also pay close to a 3% dividend. They also make affordable homes. This is an area of the housing market the government wants to boost. Therefore, it's safe to say this will be unaffected by announcements in the budget in regards to any increase or presumed increase in stamp duty on expensive houses. Because they're talking about, I don't know what it is, £2 million houses above that, stamp duty goes up and stuff like that. And by the way, one final thing. In their last set of results, in their final results, the Gleeson, MJ Gleeson, the board remains confident that in delivering its objective of selling 3,000 new homes per annum, group profitability could broadly triple and the company would resume its position as the fastest growing listed house builder in the UK. Like I said, they are one of the smallest, but that means the share price will tend to rally the quickest. And so it's worth looking at. Do some research on Gleeson. I think brokers have a target at the moment. It's a 12-month target only, of course, up to 2026, of £6.20, which is 65% upside. But of course, that will be revised upwards if the markets become more buoyant for the next financial year. But as yet, they're saying for the next year, for the next 12 months, 65% upside. And like I said, good value, good growth. And I think, you know, we're buying here trough earnings, market sentiment low. That, in a contrarian way, is the time to buy. I'm not saying you should buy, I'm saying do some research. Nothing is investment advice on this podcast. I'm just saying, you know, think of tucking one of these house builders aside for, you know, 2-3 years, and I think you'll do quite well. It's always been that way. You know, people get really bullish, bearish at the bottom, and all these negative headlines come out, and then all of a sudden, a year later, they've rallied. They go, oh, hang on, what's going on? Because things aren't getting this worse. And once they aren't getting this worse, they're going to get better. So you've got to buy before that positivity really comes in. Anyway, that's it. Thanks for listening. Have a nice weekend, and we'll speak you next week. Oh, by the way, sharepickers.com. If you want to get 40% off, go to sharepickers.com. You can get the price of membership for the price of a jumbo Savaloy. What about that then? That's all. From the chippy. £2.88 a week. It's got to be worth that, surely. In fact, it's worth 10 times that, I'd say. But thanks for listening. Speak to you next week. Have a nice weekend.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The contents of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.